Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hello, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Windis Fernandez-Brinkhord with Trilogy Financial Services, and I'm your host today for Money Talks. Our topic today is helping you see the trees through the forest in terms of your finances and planning. And our guest today is Lynn Lambrecht with The Living Planner. Hi, Lynn.
Hello, Windis. Thanks for having me today.
Awesome. All right. So Lynn and I are seasoned vets in helping clients understand how to find better organization and a better understanding of their money and their assets. Right, Lynn?
We are. And you know, Windis, it's such a pleasure to be here. When I the Living Planner is something that I created predicated on my experiences in my corporate life. And I took an opportunity to actually look back and create my second life vocation. And I've seen a gap in our society. As Americans, we tend to avoid discussions, planning, or even thinking about the life and death experience. We think about living, yet when it comes to preparation for any kind of illness, accident, or death, we might be considered a little morbid or off if we place too much attention there. So whatever those reasons, we can't outlive the fact that at some point we're no longer going to be on this planet. So I love consulting with individuals, families, and businesses to create awareness, education, and I strive to inspire people to begin taking action.
Wow. Anything I say after that is a tough act to follow, and that's great. I have to say, I spend a lot of time with people trying to understand, you know, what is going to happen and how they are going to achieve the financial well-being that they want to, and really helping people understand, kind of to your point, you have a picture of what you want, and that's great, but also sometimes life happens. Planning for your wealth and your future also means having the contingency plans in place when things don't go as anticipated. Or in some cases, if they do go as anticipated, because I've had people sit down in front of me and say, look, everyone in my family gets dementia. How do I plan for that? Mm-hmm. And so that actually changes even the discussion you have regarding your financial planning, right?
It sure does. Believe me, I come from a family with a father with Alzheimer's, so I hear you.
So speaking of your family, when we were discussing kind of what we were going to talk about today, one thing that did come up is, like, yes, you came to this from work experience, but did your parents, were they examples for you in terms of how to be organized in your life financially?
They were, but maybe not in the way in which you think. My parents came from very different backgrounds. My mom came from more of a position of wealth, and my dad did not. And what was interesting is that I learned what not to do when it came to money. I grew up with parents that were from like a very early generation. They were born in the early 1900s. So discussions about the topic, was not a common dinner time kind of conversation. Planning about retirement and investing. I look at money in three ways. One is the cash creation piece. Two is the cash management. And three is the cash investment. And we didn't discuss it. So at the age of five, I hosted a carnival in my dead-end court and made money. And so I asked my dad if we could open my savings account. And that's when I started. So I just kind of took it upon myself from a very young age to say, hey, I'm the youngest in the family. I've heard about money in different ways, but I don't really know what I don't know. And so I went on a quest to kind of figure it out.
But it sounds like your parents really supported you in that quest.
Big time. Oh, absolutely. I think in some ways what it was is I didn't have fear about the discussion or the topic or even about, you know, hey, this is money, we earn it, we spend it, you know, we manage it, we do this. And I think they were a little taken aback in some ways by that. So, yeah, it was a great space to be in. My brother started college when I started kindergarten, so I heard a lot about the angst of, you know, saving for college. So I think that's what stuck with me, because when I opened up my savings account, literally at age 5, I said, I'm paying for college. And I did. So,
that's awesome.
I mean,
now,
my parents were blown away.
Did your other siblings save and pay for their own college?
No. I was the first and only to do that. But I think, again, it's because I had a younger eye. I could see what was involved for my parents. And I just kept thinking, I bet I could do that. I bet I could do that. And so I did. My brother is very, very financially savvy as an adult. And my sister is a little more inclined toward, like my parents, of kind of the ostrich avoidance thing. And she does okay. But my brother and I talk about a lot together.
My family, it's a little bit like a yo-yo. I say that because my family were, interestingly enough, like my grandparents lived across the street from us growing up. And so you have three generations kind of cohabitating in the same space. Mm-hmm. My grandparents were the kind of money where if they had a penny, it was their penny and you were never going to pry it out of their hand. And they made it very clear. And they did a very good job building wealth because they were able to save all those pennies and accumulate assets because of that. But because they were so so tight with their money, I don't have any other way of really describing it, they almost created the opposite effect in my mom. And so my mom, if she's got a penny, she's going to find a place to spend it. Like, she's like a hoarder. It's insane. So I literally grew up between no happy medium, two extremes, right?
Yeah.
Actually gave me some really cool perspective to see just what an interesting relationship money can have with your foundation and how you grew up and what your parents did in that respect. And it's interesting because I'm trying to learn how to raise my children with a little bit more stability on the financial front, but that's tough too. It's always like, I don't want to do what my parents did, but just because you don't do what your parents did doesn't mean you still don't create problems in other ways.
Well, and I think in some ways too, I mean, life can be fairly easy when it comes to it if we start talking even at a young age about some of the things that are age appropriately responsible. Because, you know, hey, if they've got their little jars or their little ability to have some play money and some saving money and like for the long term and some investing money, I mean, that's kind of fun. Because you're teaching along the way. Because we had no conversation about it, and when we did, I mean, my dad did well. I mean, he was a dentist. He did fine. He had no business savvy. They certainly owned our home, but that was the only asset per se. There was not a bunch of discussion about protection plans such as life insurance or disability insurance. And, you know, being self-employed, if dad was out, there was not a paycheck coming in.
So why don't we pause right now, and why don't you explain a little bit more about what you show your clients how to do and let us know how we can reach out to you.
Okay. Well, you know, what's interesting to me is that I think that so much of our life we live in autopilot. We don't pay attention to really what we do all day, every day. whether that is in our day-to-day life, whether it's our financial life, whether it's, you know, our legal life, whether it's our medical life, whether it's the extra protection type size part of life. And so when I have two different kind of facets. One is working with individuals and families, and the second was with businesses. And so the individuals and families, what's fascinating to me is traditionally, my parents were in a very traditional marriage. My mom didn't pay bills. My dad did all of it. He was the one that was in charge financially. Many families still have couples that, you know, one person takes one part of the job, the other person takes another parts of jobs, and they may not share everything on every account, whether it's online, whether there are paper things. And so if somebody needed to step in to their shoes or they needed to step into each other's, could they? And that's kind of where I start with people.
Now I give you permission to hound me about this because although I never thought I would say this, actually the way you just described that, I would tell you that as a financial planner, I both am the full-time breadwinner, mm-hmm. But my husband doesn't know where anything is. I'm pretty sure he doesn't even know how to log on to our bank accounts, right?
And
I don't know that
he doesn't pay. My sister-in-law was the same.
He doesn't pay a single bill. And it's not, it's just how we, it is how we divide the things that need to get done because you don't necessarily need two cooks in the kitchen. So it's not a bad thing that it's done that way, but the issue is what if I did become incapacitated? I don't even know where he would get started.
It's an awareness piece. And I think what's so fascinating, too, is that when I was helping with my parents and, you know, it through illness and death, they didn't have online accounts. Everything I do is online. So there is not mail coming to tell people who my utility companies are.
There is not a single paper trail of anything. Yep. Everything is electronic these days.
And so from that perspective, too, I mean, literally, I haven't been married yet. So who could walk into my house in my life and be able to pick up for me if I'm, you know, in the hospital and not awake? Maybe I'm in a coma. Maybe something happened where I'm not able to talk. That's the type of prep where I work with individuals together by just kind of walking through their day. I have a well-being checkup, and we look at, you know, like all areas of life and try to combine them. What's fascinating is that I help people get ready to come to you as the financial person. I help people get ready to go to an attorney to actually create legal documents. I'm happy to talk about some of the taxation issues that may come into play and refer them to accountants and tax specialists. And, you know, the insurance side for protection policies, if you're, you know, disability and long-term care and life insurance and things of that level, you know, there are different ways that we can really protect ourselves and feel good about our families and how we're living and the help that we may need while we're living or for those that are left behind if we're not.
So let's go ahead and let people know how to reach you.
I think, you know, there's two things. They might want to check out my website just to kind of get an overview of what I do, and that is thelivingplanner.com. And if they want to find me via email, it's Lynn, L-Y-N-N, at thelivingplanner.com.
Great. And if you didn't catch those contact details, we'll have the information listed in our show notes. Okay. So now that we've kind of gotten a really good foundation of what you do and the clarity that you help create, as you've been building your business, and you and I have shared many stories, and we even have mutual clients, what mistake do you see people the most getting caught in and maybe the easiest to fix? Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And I think the first mistake is the avoidance. And I know that we think we have time. We think we have options, you know, later, later because there's other things more pressing in our day today. And if you're, even for business owners, you know, we tend to work in our business, on our business. So I too am in the contingency person. So I think when you really kind of take a peek at it, having a conversation and creating the awareness is the first part, but the resistance that people feel, I have a tendency to be pretty sassy at times, and I can just say, so, are you happy with this resistance? Is this where you plan to be? If whatever the spouse name is needed you tomorrow, how would they be positioned? Because I think that that's the piece that is a wake-up. Like you had your wake-up call thinking about your family and how you two are balancing things.
Right.
How are we helping each other? I mean, and so that awareness piece is first before anything. Then the secondary piece is the education. And then third, hopefully I can inspire people to action. And some people actually help me ask them, you know, they ask me to help them be their accountability partner and actually do it.
So I can say I get people in all the time, and to an extent they'll avoid me for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I finally get them to come in and commit to talking about it, what the real issue is that money, and it keeps them up at night, and it's not necessarily because they lack it, because maybe that they fear that they lack it, that they fear that someone is going to tell them that they haven't saved enough. It creates an immense amount of insecurity for many people. So when they come in, we've got a very defined process to be able to help them get everything into one place, be able to see all of their assets in one place where it can really help them get a better sense of, are they on track for what their goals are? And if they're not on track, we can help people really devise a very clean path to being on track. And the reason I find it's interesting, like how long people will wait to do it, and then the sense of relief they get from, because my goal, like what we're talking about, my goal is not to make you feel bad. It's to help you create the solution so that this is no longer the source of anxiety or the thing that keeps you up at night. Now, just because I'm providing you with a solution and understanding and a but doesn't mean it's not going to still be a source of anxiety. I love it. I have clients who call me, and we have a standard question. This one client just simply asks, do I need a tent? Because her biggest fear is she's going to retire, and we've been through the big recession together, and her biggest fear was that in the end, when she had to retire, that she'd have to live in a tent on the side of the 5 freeway, right?
Uh-huh.
So I always tell her, until she comes into my office for a review and sees a tent in the corner waiting for her, she's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I get
and
to be that help support.
And that humor helps people, too, because what I have found on my side is this. People don't want to be dumb, and they don't want to look ignorant. And rather than asking a question that might appear to be such, they don't ask, and they withdraw. And that piece to me, when we can create environments, because I saw that with my father. He didn't know, and he didn't want to be dumb. So when we can talk in like real plain speak about anything and everything we do, as you do, Windus, with your clients, I mean, they love you because you give it to them like that. And on my side, I want to be able to explain the whole legal piece, the day-to-day piece, and really show them, you know, this is okay. This is okay. We're going to be okay. And that you're talking about relief. I end up having couples and people really kind of just saying, oh, my God, I knew I needed this. I knew I needed this. It's like that whole what if, that what if, what if, what if. But, oh, my God, when we finally did this, it was like the weight of the world had been lifted off of me.
You know, it's also interesting. I was just kind of reflecting as you were saying that. I've had a lot of clients who came to me who said, my financial advisor makes me feel bad about needing money out of my own accounts. And I actually think that that is an issue in my field. I try to tell people when you're retiring, let's look at how much you can spend annually, mm-hmm. so that you know when you do spend this, what will you have in the end? Let's kind of set a line of what normal spending is and give yourself some flexibility to take some extra out if there's an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
People need to give themselves permission to spend. I just got off the phone with another client, and one of the things we were talking about is the feeling that people get when you say the word budget. They kind of like clammy. Like, I don't want you to tell me how much I can spend. The point mm-hmm. of a budget isn't to tell someone how much they can or cannot spend. It's almost to give them permission to spend this. So, like, when you go on a diet and you tell yourself what you can't have, you should be telling yourself, what are the foods that you can have, and build your diet, your lifestyle around those foods that you can have so that you don't feel like you're depriving yourself. Mm-hmm. If you say, I don't have any money to spend on clothes, and you do that, and then all of a sudden you binge clothing shop because everyone needs to integrate in new clothes every year. I believe most people
do,
right?
Too.
Like, some people amaze me, but when you deprive yourself of things and you don't give yourself permission to spend, you end up doing exactly what you're trying to avoid.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And it's the same kind of the mental game in life is huge. And if somebody has told themselves their whole life, I don't know how to invest, they're scared. Or, I don't know how to save, they're scared. Or, I don't know how to share and be open and have my spouse or my partner be able to see everything, like they open up the kimono and have some fun. And it's like, has something in the past happened to you that's made you even more scared than you need to be? And that's just something of asking yourself, hey, is this true? You know, what's going on? So when we can make it more human and fun, as I know I strive to do, people literally can start relaxing and then asking themselves, hey, what is it that you know about what I'm doing here? Do you know that I pay these accounts? I mean, I love watching people, their eyes actually either light up or recognize that their spouse is shutting down because it's scaring them, or it's not their thing, or they're in overwhelm. And having one of the spouses say, honey, it's okay, I'm going to take this one through, I'm going to see through the next month or so, okay? And we're going to do this and this and this and this. And they help each other.
So what I'd love to hear is any sort of a story you can share where when people have signed up with you and fully committed and gotten stuff organized, are there some success stories or some anecdotes you can share with us about how people feel afterwards? Do you know what I mean?
I can, and I can. I'll tell you about a very young couple that I'm working with, and it's not completely completed yet, but I'm going to give an example on this one because I've had this in many cases. Absolute resistance at first because they didn't know what they didn't know and they didn't want to be dumb. And so when we started with, you know, like my well-being checkup, and they said, you know what, we want to ask you for help because we're going to keep living life and we're not going to do any of this without you. You know, so can you, like, do something for us? So I created a monthly commitment calendar, and I put it down in writing. I had them agree. I touched base in mid-month and said, how are you guys coming along with this? And the first month was absolutely hysterical because they said, we're not doing it. We're just not doing it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I said, okay. So this is all for you. So what's creating the resistance? And we ended up like chatting about it and laughing and following up. Well, now, you know, here they are. They now have, they've actually conferred with different professional advisors in areas. They have life insurance. They're going to go meet with the estate planning attorney and do this thing. And literally they both looked at me like 2 weeks ago and said, we need to give you the biggest hug ever. Because our children thank you. We have now made the decisions about guardianship and have an understanding about what that means, how we need to set that up financially. And that's the stuff that makes me be really happy. Now, on the other end of this spectrum is a couple with that each had been married before. And so they were blending life. And they had each had some pretty negative experiences with those previous lives. And they don't, they're not negative at all together. They're amazing. But they just hadn't put those pieces of life in a conversational tool or in a binder or something to access so that they could have those discussions and make those decisions and move forward together in that side. It was a different almost commitment for them to say, okay, darn it, we are leaving the past behind and we're moving forward.
I like that. So I've had a couple really eye-opening client experiences recently where, and I love the young couple examples because all day long we can help people manage assets and succeed in retirement, but giving someone the foundation is a special gift. And getting someone who's younger to commit to that, you know, it's neat when it happens. So I had this young couple who I'd given a talk at a company, and they approached me to, they'd newly married, wanted to get a better sense of what real comprehensive financial planning meant. And we helped set up their client portal, taught them where their money was going, really gave them a good foundation. And then the real questions started to come out. Like, hey, you know, our parents want us to buy a house. Our parents want us to have children. Our parents want to spend this much. I mean, I kid you not, I had no idea. It came out of nowhere. Like, they'd never even mentioned it in the prior meetings. And then, bam, the real stuff came out on that last meeting. And it was so interesting because they said, you know, we've been tracking our expenses with you for 6 months, and now mom wants us to buy this house. Can you talk to us more about, is this the right purchase? And I say, you know, on paper, Lynn, they can qualify for the house.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean it's what's right for them. This is a couple that likes to travel, that's planning on having a child, that's going to have that child in daycare part of the time. And so when we started to work through, like, well, let's tailor a travel budget so after you have a kid, but you still want to integrate some travel, and so what does that look like? Let's talk about daycare, diapers. All of that is a new child. And once we backed into it, we backed into a firm line in the sand that they realized for them, this isn't for everyone, it may actually be better for them to rent a little bit longer so that they can maintain the quality of life that they want. Not, you know, it's okay. Yeah, you're right. You know what? They could buy a house. And guess what? They'd be that classic example of house rich and cash poor. But they were so adamant that wasn't what they wanted. So I think the real point, seeing the trees through the forest, is helping people arrive at what their, it's a little bit of what their why is financially, right? So that they can help kind of shut out some of the outside influence that's not meant to be negative or positive, but doesn't help them get to what's best for them.
The noise of the world is noisy. And I think if we can bring in those two and facilitate when people just having a conversation of what's meaningful, what matters, what's important, what they value, how they love the flow of their life, then we're doing our jobs.
Exactly. And having people make sacrifices because they choose to make them, not because it's happening to them, is really important for me. So we have just a few minutes left in our show today, and I'd love it if you shared one piece of advice out there for our listeners today.
I think my piece of advice is this. How do we eat an elephant? One bite at a time. If something in your world seems completely overwhelming and you have not begun, just know that everything doesn't have to be done in one day or 1 minute. That if by setting the course of what's important for you with a timeline, then guess what? We reverse engineer it and it's done, little by little.
That's it, huh? Just one bite at a time. I like to talk to people about, since I don't like to eat meat over here, that's just my weird thing, right?
I like to
talk to people
one
about thinking,
tofu.
I don't know, I think about this poor elephant. Well, why are we eating the elephant? I'm just kidding. I like to say it's a baby step. Take a baby step towards your future. But my piece of advice on the flip side is going to be a little bit along the lines of know where your money goes. It's empowering. This ostrich thing that you described with your sister, this head in the sand, this type of behavior causes us undue anxiety. Pretending like it's not there, it doesn't prevent the anxiety. And knowing where your money goes will empower you to make better decisions.
Amen, sister. I completely subscribe to that one. I mean, for
like
heaven's
that,
sake.
Huh?
Yeah.
All right. So, Lynn, I'd like you to say again, I just want to thank you for coming on the show, and I'd love it if you told people again how they could reach you.
Thank you for having me today, and my website is thelivingplanner.com, and my email is lynn@thelivingplanner.com.
All right, folks. So that was our show for today, helping you see the trees through the forest in terms of your finances and planning. And I want to say a special thanks to all of our listeners, and we'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show. We're here every Monday at 9 a.m. and every Friday at 2 p.m. Our next leading lady is going to be the Mindy Netafi with Writing and the Unconscious Mind, Strategies for Accessing Your Authentic Voice. She's the director of the company Free Delivery. It's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. This is Wendis Fernandez Braincord. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. And this is my show, Money Talks Radio, where we want to help encourage you to have your money work for you, part as you're working for your money. And I have a wonderful little compliance sign-off, which is registered
Women Leading the Way
is
produced
with LPL
by Connected
Financial.
Women
Investment advice is offered through Trilogy Capital, a registered investment advisory firm. Trilogy and Trilogy Financial and Trilogy Capital are not affiliated with LPL Financial. Have a great day.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business, executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.